Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey, welcome to the podcast. It's the time for the random thought.
You know, let me just warn you, Carrie's already annoyed at me.
I am already annoyed.
She didn't even get to hit record, and she was annoyed at me.
I love you, baby.
But it's really just because you're hungry.
I'm just hungry. So here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Our random thought is not Carrie's annoyed. Our random thought is in Wisconsin, according to an AP article by Scott Bauer, which somehow makes me think of Scott Bakio and then also that guy, Scott Bakula.
Yeah, who's the first
one? And then Jack Bauer from 24.
But who's the first Scott you said?
Scott Baio, Joni Lichachi.
Oh, you said Bakula.
No, that was Bakula, the second one. Bakula, that's the second one. And he was in Quantum Leap or something.
Yeah, I remember the name. Yeah, man. Of course, I never watched Quantum Leap.
Yeah, of course not, because Sean's too cool.
But I watched.
He was
Scott
all about Miami
Wasn't
Vice.
Scott Baio like a porn actor?
No, he was in Joey Loves Chachi.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm just Happy kidding. Day. Dude, that was a joke.
Oh, I didn't get it.
Anyways.
I don't get the joke. Anyways.
Oh, I thought it was funny. You may not get it.
Did you even laugh if you thought it was funny? I don't think you laughed.
Well, no, because then you'll be like, I'm trying to taunt you into a laugh. You know what I mean? See, it works every time.
So, in Wisconsin, anyways, according to here? Scott...
Bakula.
Are you going to interrupt the whole time?
I will stop interrupting right.
I don't know if I believe you.
On your mark, now.
In Wisconsin, the old-fashioned cocktail comes with brandy and not bourbon. And apparently the lawmakers, instead of dealing with like affordable housing or whatever, want to make it official. So there's a bipartisan resolution in Wisconsin that declares brandy old fashioned as the official Wisconsin state cocktail.
Okay. I waited a long enough time not to interrupt, but that was a good pause. So, do you know that they have a housing crisis in Wisconsin?
Damn it, there's a housing crisis everywhere.
And does the original old fashioned come with bourbon? Apparently,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Real old fashions, everyone in Wisconsin is going to be mad at me, but like they have bourbon.
I've made them for you a couple times and I just don't remember, but yeah.
Yeah, they're totally bourbon-y.
Well, maybe they like it a little sweeter in Wisconsin.
They do. Did I ever tell you how one time I went like to Wisconsin on book tour and I was like, oh, it's going to be so exciting. They have a lot of cheese here. And I went to the hotel, and it was really late, and I just squeaked under the time for room service, and I got this quesadilla, and I am a cheese lover.
I will attest to that.
And this friggin' quesadilla was, like, five times bigger than my face. And it was,
cheese?
Like, gooey beautifulness, but it was so huge.
Yeah.
And the cheese in it was so thick.
Yeah.
I had never seen anything like it. And then I went to the school and I told the kids and they're like, oh, yeah, that's just how we do cheese here. Like all these fourth graders, they're like, yeah, we're real into the cheese.
They just eat cheese.
Yeah, they're like yeah, like, the quesadillas
like the
are
fried
huge.
Curds.
Yeah. So I went to Wisconsin and got a quesadilla at a hotel and that just seems really wrong.
Did you have a brandy old fashioned?
No, I did not have a brandy old fashioned.
Because that would have gone.
Because I don't drink alone.
Maybe that's why. Maybe brandy goes better with cheese than bourbon.
Maybe. So the other state symbols for Wisconsin is milk is their official beverage that doesn't have alcohol on it.
Yeah.
Kringle is their official pastry, and corn is their official grain.
Do all states have all that official crap?
I don't know, man. We could look up Maine. Hold on. Maine official state. Maine has an official state food and a cat.
Our food. What do you use our food? Potato or lobster?
Maple
syrup?
No.
Is that really what it is?
I don't know. Hold on.
That's a Wikipedia list of state food.
All right. Hold on. I'm going to hit Maine. It's a Whoopie Pie.
Oh, okay. That's much better.
Oh, wait. No, hold on. We have a state berry, the wild blueberry. We have a state herb, and it is not marijuana.
It should be.
I know. It's wintergreen.
What?
I know. And our state dessert is... Just say it.
Blueberry pie, but only if it's made with wild Maine blueberries.
There you go. Our state treat is the whoopie pie.
Hell yeah.
And our state sweetener is...
We have a pure state sweetener. Maine maple syrup. They just make up categories. Look, Maryland has a state drink. We don't have a state
Maryland
drink.
Maryland has a state crustacean.
Massachusetts has a state muffin.
And it's a corn muffin.
And a state bean.
The baked navy bean.
Is that like baked beans?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And their state is... Oh, I'm going to have to move to Massachusetts.
Massachusetts is very sugar-based. Ready?
I
and
carb-based. Massachusetts.
Can I just say them?
Yeah.
The state muffin, corn muffin, state bean, baked navy bean, state berry, cranberry, state dessert, Boston cream pie, state cookie, chocolate chip cookie, state donut. Boston cream.
They
donut.
Nailed all my sugar categories.
You should have been from...
I got it. Can we move to Massachusetts?
No.
No?
No. They have too many people there.
Can you join the Maine state legislature and try to get some of that added to...
And then...
Get our state dessert changed to Boston cream pie?
Can I just say that the state that I come from on this Wikipedia page only has two things listed, and they are so boring, much like me. State fruit is pumpkin.
My fuck.
And state vegetable is the white potato.
Oh, New Hampshire's racist.
It sounds so effing racist.
They even capitalized it.
The white. That is so stupid. In Florida, where you're from, the state fruit is an orange.
Duh.
State pies. USA.
Key lime pie.
And
duh.
And state honey is...
Tupelo honey, which I... Don't know anything about. I didn't know honey was such a big thing. In
apparently,
Florida. They don't have shit on there about fishing. But you know
they don't
I'm
got
saying?
Shit on there.
If we can get Maine to change the thing from Whoopie Pie to Boston Cream Pie, we could just call. I was originally thinking we could call it the Bangor Cream Pie, but then I was like, oh no, that's a whole different thing.
That's so wrong. Oh, I snorted. Are you ready to be serious, my friend?
I don't know about that.
What? You're not supposed to move in your chair.
Did you start recording already?
Yeah, and you made... Listen
oh,
to you.
You didn't
stop
turn
moving.
Hey, listen, I had something to say. Now you made me forget.
You keep moving.
Are we talking about blurbs again?
Yes, this is our final in our 3-part series of blurbs.
You know, this is the longest series we've ever had. And I thought blurbs were supposed to be short.
Only 150 to 200 words. So,
so we should only be doing 50 to 75 words per podcast on blurbs.
Whatevs. All right. So this podcast is officially called Dive Into the Conflict and Make Your Book Blurb Sing. So 2 weeks ago, we started talking about how to write a book blurb for your story and began with the first step, which is a hook. You can check that out via our podcast notes at carriejonesbooks.blog or Living Happy on Substack. And the second step we also talked about, which is dangling the characters. Then our next step, according to Sean, is what Sean has no problem doing in real life with anyone other than his own daughter.
What's that?
Which is dive into the conflict.
Oh. Are you kidding me?
No.
Why'd you try to slam me like that?
Because I'm married to you and I gotta get my comeuppance sometime. No, my... Well, My joy comes from...
how much better our home life has been since I stopped pursuing the conflict with that person.
Anyway, so the three first steps are create hook.
Dangle the characters.
Dive into the conflict. So what does...
It's like a porn... You dangle, and then you dive in.
And then you create that hook.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sexy. So what does dive into the conflict mean? Sean?
It means that in that book blurb that you're working on so fastidiously, you want to show your potential reader what the conflict of the story is.
And so that makes you wonder, whoa, wait, what's a conflict? So a conflict is just when one force goes against another force, which apparently requires an Irish accent, while the character tries to get their goal. Why did I say force like that?
I don't know, baby.
The character wants something, and the conflict is the obstacles, or are the obstacles. Is the obstacles. Whatever.
No, stand conflict in... is singular.
I know, but so the conflict...
Is. The conflict is the obstacles. That's...
I know, but then, they don't match.
Hey, so the... who's got a certificate in editing? Me, not you.
The conflict. Okay. You do. Oh, I can slam you so hard right there. The conflict is the obstacles that stand in the character's way, which is super simple, right? Or as Sean Glatch says on writers.com, quote,
at its most basic, conflict is a clash of opposing forces with a character's own pursuit of a goal. The character must overcome these opposing forces to achieve the goal. These opposing forces might take on numerous shapes and might even exist solely within the character's own psyche. Now, can I do that again?
No.
I want to explain to everybody that Carrie just took a sip out of my cup, expecting it to be seltzer water. It was indeed seltzer water with a healthy squirt of lime juice and perhaps a little bit of vodka.
It wasn't what I was expecting. It's like if you go to Wisconsin and you get an old fashioned and it doesn't have the bourbon in it and it has the brandy. That's what just happened to me.
So while I started out being serious, looking out of her out of the corner of my eye and watching her facial expression made me laugh.
It was disgusting. All right, so Shayla Raquel also has a couple of great examples of blurbs that show conflict, and I'm going to read this. Frederick Starks has it all. A gorgeous wife who was his high school sweetheart, three beautiful children, a mansion and cars others envy, millions in the bank, respected in his community, admired by his employees, loved and respected by loyal friends. He revels in the hard-earned power and control he's acquired. As the saying goes, all that glitters is not gold, which Starks discovers when gut-wrenching betrayal by his wife sends him over the edge and into a maximum security prison.
And that's a tale as common as squirrels in today's world.
So that's called When the Serpent Bites by Nestle Clerg. Or clergy, and it is a book blurb that shows conflict. I have an issue with the first paragraph, honestly, because it's like,
yeah,
he has it all.
Yeah,
so it's like listing nouns: a wife, kids, a mansion,
millions.
But then it starts going into qualities.
Like personal, yes,
respected,
exactly.
Admired, loved, and respected. They use respected twice, which seems...
Respected is stacked right over itself in two consecutive sentences. People don't ever do that.
I think we could all tweak that a little bit. So anyways, but it does beautifully show the conflict, right?
Oh, it does a good job. Yeah. Right.
So the fourth step...
He got addicted to prescription painkillers. And then he ended up killing his wife and one of his beautiful children out by the dog.
No, he did not.
You didn't even recognize the...
Oh!
The reference of that documentary we watched.
Yeah, right. So the fourth step. This brings us to the fourth step, and that's determine the consequences. So?
You want to show what is about to happen. It's that formula we talked about before.
Which is, I'll read the parentheticals.
Conflict.
Character must do this.
Plus stakes.
Or this will happen.
Equals consequences. You didn't think I was going to remember from the first time I fucked that up, did you?
Language. So.
I already cussed once.
Crack me up. All right. So this is basically showing the reader what will happen if the character doesn't get their goal. And then the final step, right?
Yes.
The final step, according to Shayla Raquel, is just dying on the big question. That also sounds like porn.
It does.
Yeah. Which, of course, makes me hungry, but not in a porn way. All right. So she writes.
I'll do it.
Oh, yeah. So long.
End your blurb on an intriguing question or a point of tension. Something that will convince the reader to take a chance on buying your book. Example. Bruce the Bear likes to keep to himself. That and eat eggs. Bruce the Bear. But when his hard-boiled goose eggs turn out to be real live goslings, he starts to lose his appetite. And even worse, the goslings are convinced he's their mother. Bruce tries to get the geese to go south, but he can't seem to rid himself of his new companions. What's a bear to do?
That's the question.
Let him grow old and fat and then eat him.
Oh, shoot. So, you know there's consequences there, right?
Yeah.
If the little baby duckies or geesies don't go south, they're going to freeze to death unless they all hibernate with Bruce.
That's right. They gotta eat, man. They don't have those geese don't have a hibernation mode.
But that's it. Those are the things. The final
steps. Oh, just those four easy steps.
No, there's like six. But yeah.
Okay.
I'll combine boo.
Boo?
Boo.
But we'll sell them to you for 5 easy installments of $19.99.
Because we need the money.
Dog tip for life.
Ooh.
What?
That was loud.
That wasn't bad.
That was super loud. On our blog, we have a picture of Pogi here. She's hanging off the couch.
She is hanging off. She's looking rather sad, too.
That was right after our other dog, Sparty, died, which happened last Friday. Way to bring the podcast down.
Friday night. I know. Why are you just throwing that out there? You should have led with that right there.
No, because that's so sad. But anyway, she looks really sad there in her picture.
Does.
And she's got a little goop in her eye. She's staring at the floor.
She's a goopy-eyed dog.
She's thinking, I don't know what to do with my life.
Now that I've lost my playmate.
So she has a... That she tormented. What is the big question, Sean? What is the dog tip for life?
I asked Pogi about conflict.
God, that tastes
you already
terrible.
Drank from it once.
I know, I'm just so thirsty.
What's in your cup over there?
Like coffee from like
oh, cold
87
black coffee?
Hours ago.
I'll get you some water when this is done, okay?
Oh, you're such a good husband.
I just want everybody to know she just said I'm such a good husband.
They heard. It's a like, podcast.
I know, but I'm worried you're going to cut that out.
I'll cut this out too.
I know, I thought about that too.
All right.
Anyways, so.
Dog tip for life.
Yeah, I know. Pogi was like, so you gotta have a consequence, right? I said, yeah, obviously, that's the whole point. She's like, well, sometimes, you know, I don't think about the consequences. And I'm starting to learn as I grow older, that's actually quite important.
Mm.
She said, you remember that other morning where I was out in the dining room playing with the cat? It looked like we were both having fun. But then I came in the office and Mama found a cat claw stuck in my jowl.
She did have one.
She said, see, I wasn't thinking of the consequences at the time. Or how important they were to my story.
Oh, no. Oh,
but I learned.
She did. She did learn. We all can learn from a good cat claw and a jowl.
So when you're writing your blurb, which is based on your book, so the consequence got to be in your book too, right?
Yeah, but yeah, this is more about life, man. Dog tip for life.
Oh, like, I know. So. But it's got to play back to the podcast.
Well, yeah. So consequences.
Try to think about the consequence before.
Because it makes hand. It, yeah.
Like, you don't want to go through life not thinking about the consequences. Nor do you want to try to write your book without thinking about the consequences. Because then you've got no goal.
You got no goal.
You
got
to have a goal. All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast,
Loving the Strange,
which we stream live
on Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't take much more.